Nocturnal leg cramps are painful involuntary muscle contractions that occur in the legs or feet during prolonged periods of rest. It has been anecdotally reported that in pregnant women, rest cramps are worse during the summer. I'm Dr. Diane Kelsall, Deputy Editor for CMAJ, and today we are speaking with Dr. Scott Garrison, Associate Professor in the Department of Family Medicine at the University of Alberta and lead author of a study looking at the seasonal variability of leg cramps. So Dr. Garrison, can you tell us what your research is about and why you decided to study this topic?
I was initially doing a PhD in experimental medicine with the topic being nocturnal leg cramps. And so I was looking at a variety of different ways to understand leg cramps and more importantly to try to help patients who were suffering it. And while I was doing that, I had come across a mention within an RCT of magnesium for pregnant women who were suffering rest cramps, nocturnal leg cramps, suggesting that their cramp burden was greater in the summer. And that would be interesting from the point of view of trying to understand from basic science, what would be going on with cramps, because we don't really know what causes them. So the first data source that we had immediately to hand that made me think of doing this was the quinine data. We had been answering a question about whether certain medications worsened people's cramping, and we were doing that using the BC Ministry of Health database of all the prescribing that has been done in the province. So for the whole 4 million people in BC, they record very accurately all of the prescriptions. And so we had access to that, and we had been using quinine prescriptions as a way of picking out people who were suffering from cramping. And in particular, we were looking at new prescriptions for quinine, so the first time that you ever prescribed it, which we thought would be a fairly clean signal of increasing cramp burden, as opposed to all prescriptions, which would include renewals. And that might have been motivated just as much by your prescription running out as it was your cramp burden getting worse. We couldn't really use the coding that physicians put in for diagnosis for that particular diagnosis. I don't think it was cleanly recorded, so we were using quinine prescriptions to pick them up. Even though there's a lot of risks to do with quinine, it's still fairly commonly prescribed in BC. So because we had that data, we were able to do a time series and look and see when people were starting their quinine, and it just jumped out that there was this beautiful, strong sinusoid. And we then looked to see, is there any other data source we could use that would corroborate this? And there was. Anybody can go to Google Trends, and within a couple minutes, you can duplicate the same sort of graph that we're showing in this paper, which is you could look and see what people are searching for. And we put in leg cramps and localized it to the United States, which was the largest single geographic area that we could look at. And again, this exactly, very, very similar smooth sinusoid jumped out.
So when you compared these sinusoidal graphs, what did you find overall then?
So there's a very strong seasonality for both of those sources, whether it's people looking for information on the internet about leg cramps or whether it's prescriptions for quinine. They roughly double in the peak of summer as compared to the middle of winter when they're at their lowest. So you have about two-thirds, the peak-to-peak variability is about two-thirds of the mean prescribing or the mean search volume. And you can explain 88% of the variability in prescribing based just on the seasonality. And 70% of the variability in prescribing for internet searches was explained by a seasonal model.
Can we venture into speculation for just a minute? I mean, the opposite trends between the U.S. and Australia is quite striking.
So the Australia data is nice because it sort of shows that it's really a seasonal thing instead of a calendar thing, right? Because the seasons were in alignment. Right? So in Australia, still things are worse in the middle of their summer. And, whenever I've spoke to people, they're pretty quick to jump out and say, oh, well, it's differences in diet or exercise or hydration. And I do think that all those things are certainly possible, and no one can know what it is. But I think there are two more interesting hypotheses to consider, and one of them has to do with vitamin D, which clearly would have, there would be seasonal exposure, right, from the sunlight. And vitamin D has been well demonstrated to be a regulator of peripheral nerve growth and regeneration. So it's conceivable that there might be some seasonality to growth and repair in motor neurons, which is where this condition arises. It's actually the motor neuron which is responsible for the cramping. And the conditions that are associated with cramping are also conditions that are associated with motor neuron loss. So aging, you know, once you get to the age where you start to lose your motor neurons, that's the same time that your cramping starts to get worse. Conditions like ALS, again, motor neuron loss are associated with cramping. So it's conceivable that something to do with growth and repair of the axons is related to this condition. And if it was seasonal, then you might have some seasonality in the cramping. I mean, that's a very far out there possibility, but it's certainly an interesting one to explore. The other thing is just there could be some seasonality to our physiology that we don't really appreciate. A lot of mammals have seasonality, you know, whether it's fur thickness or estrus or body weight. I mean, that they have some seasonality, and maybe the same thing is true for humans, whether it's to deal with thermogenesis or to deal with, like I say, growth and repair. We just don't appreciate it.
So how do you expect these findings to influence clinical practice?
I think that there's actually a variety of ways. So if you're a patient who's suffering from nocturnal leg cramps, I think if you suffer from any chronic condition, if you can gain some understanding of what is leading to it getting worse or better, but just some understanding of why it's fluctuating, it reduces the helplessness that you might feel in dealing with that symptom. The other has to do with quinines. As you alluded to in the beginning, quinine is not a recommended treatment. There are risks. Thrombocytopenia is the main one, but also cardiac rhythm disturbances. And several countries have warned physicians not to use it for this indication. The United States would probably be the strongest. But Australia and New Zealand have also warned physicians. There is a warning from Health Canada as well, but it's really the only thing that has some reasonable evidence of effectiveness. You get about a 28% reduction over placebo, according to a Cochrane review. So you do end up having a lot of people still being prescribed quinine. And our data suggests that you might not need to take your quinine throughout the year. So instead of 365 days a year, you might choose to have a quinine holiday during the colder 6 months of the year when your cramping might not be as bad. I think for researchers, if you're looking at a treatment trial of a cramp therapeutic, something to prevent cramps, then certainly if it's not randomized, it should be very suspect, because the effect that we're seeing is far greater than you'd expect to get from most medications. And depending on what time of year you started someone on this, I mean, I could put a potato in your pocket at the end of summer, and you're going to get better over the next 6 months. And you'd think, thank God I got that potato. And it really had nothing to do with it. And so it makes it hard for people to understand what actually might be helping the cramps and what isn't. And for someone who's looking at a clinical trial, it really has to be an RCT. And I would suggest that when people are reporting baseline characteristics, they might even want to consider reporting some measure of the month of the year that patients were started on the treatment.
Those are important words of caution, and I wonder if that seasonality, I think we've seen it in some other conditions, and it's an important thing for researchers to take into account. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not so much about the seasonality, but I would point out that the earlier part of the work we had done using the BC data showed that there are a couple very common medications that seem to substantially increase risk of cramping. And that's the inhaled long-acting beta agonists that patients are using for asthma or for COPD. And it's a particular kind of diuretic called a potassium-sparing diuretic. And the sequence ratio, which is essentially like a hazard ratio or a relative risk for the inhaled beta agonists, was somewhere around 2.4, I believe. Right? So more than doubling of the likelihood of needing cramp treatment once you had started on the LABA. And the potassium-sparing diuretics were not that far off of it either. So the potential is that if patients are on those medications and they're cramping, that they could ask their doctor about changing it. If it's the potassium sparing diuretic, you can use a different blood pressure lowering medicine. If you're on an inhaled beta agonist, you could use it just in the morning as opposed to also taking it later in the day, or you could switch to another kind of a medication, like Spiriva, for instance, or Atrovent, which we had shown did not have that effect.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
We've been listening to Dr. Scott Garrison from the University of Alberta. To find out more about his study, as well as a linked commentary and podcast by Dr. David Hogan on the dangers of using quinine to treat nocturnal leg cramps, please visit cmaj.ca.